be genuinely slightly changed, or by anything or any effort? If so, what is the effort one has to make? Will not bring in Buddha for the time being. Destiny. Destiny. Meaning? Destiny means? Je thavanu che te tase. What is going to happen is going to happen. Kesara. Whatever will be. That is what the one philosophy says, that destiny is unchangeable, that whatever has to happen, must happen. The second question is there any way, method, technique by which it can be slightly even changed or not? Only better. Well, can it be even slightly changed? Very thankful. Changed by whom? Changed by himself or herself. Isn't it? I'm not going to do this and change his destiny. I can't do it. Can he to a certain extent do it? That is the question. Or is it so unchangeable? Science says there is one particular energy in the whole universe. It transforms itself into various shapes and structures. All mass can be reduced to energy. Much more, the scientific world says. The Shastras say that there is only infinite mind prevailing in the entire universe. Different places it takes different structures. It can become sun, it can become moon, it can become a galaxy, it can become anything. It can become a human being, it can become dog or cat. Ultimately, the Shastras also say by infinite mind they mean an energy. But they are a step ahead of science. Because when they say infinite mind, they mean energy plus intelligence. The Shastras say energy plus intelligence, while scientists say energy. And energy without intelligence is useless. All that power is useless. It can break his head in the wrong place. Now, sticking to the fact that it is only energy and there is no intelligence, science finds it very difficult to explain. Now that it has made progress, it finds that it is very difficult to explain whatever is happening in nature without a mind, without intelligence. Will science come to our Shastra? Is my question. Will science come to our Shastra? And will our Shastras aid science and say single energy plus intelligence is the cause and not only a single energy? A little time, a few hours back, I talked to you about tuning in with infinite mind. Who can tune in with infinite mind? Those that have got intelligence. whatever little intelligence. Intelligence must be there. Intelligence means awareness. Awareness and intelligence is there, they can tune into infinite mind. Infinite mind is pure awareness, pure mind. We are limited intelligence. Can we tune in? To the extent we tune in, or to the extent we don't tune in, is our destiny. Now the word tune. Tune in, the word, say, when I say tune in, it means you. You. It doesn't mean God. If you are tuning in, it is you. With your awareness, with your intelligence, it is you who are trying to tune in. Whether you can't, whether you can do a little, that's the aside. But it is you, not one supposed God in heaven. And if the word tuning is to be used, then we can say not tuning in also can be used as negative and positive side of the same word. If you don't tune in, your intelligence is described as avidya. If you tune in, your intelligence is described as vidya. This vidya is not of school and college. This is what we learn here inside, in this school and college. Inside. So, what does it mean? Destiny depends on whether we tune in or we don't tune in. Simple as that. So difficult to tune in at the same time. Correct? So, it is not unchangeable. So, destiny is not unchangeable. No, whatever you are first, no.
Materially,
emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, in whatever manner you say. We are talking about destiny in all its aspects. Then the sastras corrected a little. They said that destiny which is ripe has to be undergone. Which is not ripe, you can tune in and change. For example, if the bullet has left my gun, then it has to meet the spot I have aimed. I can't help it. That ripe karma, I can't help it. But I had the intention to fire, I could still not fire. You see? They have corrected this way. That what is ripe? Ripe meaning the arrow that has left the bow. Sorry. The bullet that has left the revolver. Sorry. But about to leave, you can still stop. You can still change. That is how they have put it. Is destiny unchangeable? Changeable to a certain extent, unchangeable under certain circumstances. This is how the sastras explain destiny, its power and its importance also. All the time we are talking about its power. Let us also talk about its importance. It has no effect. It can wait. It can be diverted. From that word came sanskar, structure. Now, this is your structure. destiny is coming to you. In the meantime, if you enhance your structure, if you go like this, it can't, it doesn't come here. It's coming. It's a missile. Destiny is a missile that's coming. If you are there, it will hit you from any range. If your structure changes, you go underneath. You get that point? If you are tuned in, if you change your structure at white hot heat in this very life, even that very ripe karma, with all his speed but pass under it. But that white hot speed, if your efforts are small endeavor, hardly you will be here. And if I did you here somewhere. You get that one? That is what the Sanskrit says. You change your structure. You tune in. You tune in and change your structure. Why are you bothered about your destiny? Why are you bothered about your ailments? Why are you bothered about anything in this world? Change your structure. Tune in. And both these things are within you, within your possibility. You are the doer of both these things. Do it. The proof of the pudding is in eating it. Do it and see. That's how the sastras started. Then they went into details of certain techniques and methods and things. The word dana, dhyana, samadhi, we learn foolishly as concentration, meditation, identification. Somewhere we have got a translation of these three words. There is no translation of these three words, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Up to the stage yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahar, you are making efforts, as my friend here said, we still don't measure what is the progress. If your efforts have been white hot, you reach the state of dharana. That means you are tuned in up to a particular point. You are able to tune in to a particular point. You have changed your structure up to a particular point. Dhyana is much more magnified. Samadhi is much more magnified. It is not remaining underground or underwater, that is samadhi. These are for the lay people, lay translations. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi, and all. But it means where you are with your structure, how much you are tuned in. And the missiles of destiny, will it hurt you, hit you, or will it miss you? You are responsible. No one else.
Sir, once you are told, it will benefit our work.
If you are not tuned in. Obvious. I don't change my word. What I have spoken is spoken. I have described karma coming by the lift and you are going by the stairs. And however fast you might go, it will come and meet you. Like this. And in certain cases, why I said, I will tell you in what context. I was asked why Ramana Maharishi and such people should have cancer and should have this and should have that. Why is destiny meeting them? Have they not changed their structure enough? They are very advanced souls. That was the question. Right?
I was trying to think.
And their progress and the karma going by lift and meeting them was how I had told. The context, what was the context? When you become one day Ramana Maharishi, one day when you meet, when you reach the state of Ramana Maharishi, or for that matter, Ramakrishna Paramahansa, or for that matter, anyone that we know of recently, there will be a choice before you. That destiny comes, so what? They will be going through certain things for the sake of the world, for the onlooker, for people like us who are onlooking, you see, to explain why they are accepting destiny. Do you think Ramana Maharishi will feel pain? Or will feel cancer? Did Christ feel the nails put in his hands and feet? Forget it. You put a nail in my hand, I won't feel it. Will Christ feel? Humble. But they show all these because it's for the common man's uplift that they are going through all this. Do you know when he was carrying the cross, it was very heavy. And a Roman, very strong, tall Roman, who had just converted himself to his Christianity, he came forward and said, "Let me shoulder." Do you know what Christ told him? "Can I not summon 5,000 angels to my aid?" What did he say? "Can I not summon 5,000 angels to my aid?" "Yes, I will carry the cross." You see? Do you mean to say destiny you could not have? Don't. There we must not compare ourselves and put and again talk. They accept certain things. Deliberately, that's a different thing. They have passed that. No missile can touch them. But they deliberately go through it. A man who can summon 5,000 angels to his aid, he says, "Who are you to put me on the cross? Nobody will have the strength to do it." But these are definite ways of starting something for the common people of those days, how much he suffered, this, that, like that, you see. So these are ways. We cannot have the same yardstick for these people. That yardstick is separate. But no missile of destiny can touch these people. Because the law says, you raise your structure and the missile must go under. Kalas, there is no other law. And the law must obey. Whether you change this structure in one life, 10 lives, entirely up to you. But destiny is not to be taken as unchangeable. Can be changed to a certain extent, can be changed to a great extent, depending on us, not on a third person. On us.
Guru, I want to share something with you, sir.
What you see as healing, is it permanent? That is the point. What I heal, if I heal somebody, is it permanent? Will I continue with these ailments in my next birth? Is it temporarily set aside? Healing by itself is a shastra by itself. What it is called as swarnadi shastra. You can heal cancer, AIDS, anything. Swarnadi shastra teaches many things. It raises the question, is the healing permanent? That healing which can heal you for all life to come is healing. Temporary healing is good. How long does it last? Do you know, after every miracle that Christ did, what did he say? He would cure and then say, "Go and sin no more." That was the sentence he used. He healed, but then go and sin no more. In his time, sin was the meaning that change your thoughts, change your ways. You see? I'm healing you today, it will come again. Go and sin no more. If you do, it will repeat. So, healing to be permanent, there is only one cure. Change the structure, tune in. Write these two words, every day look at these two words, nothing else. Nothing else is required in life. Because structure, granite is soft as powder before structure. You can't dynamite structure. You can change it, but you can't dynamite it. It is so strong. You tune in and change your structure, you get your permanent healing, your permanent progress, whatever you want. Anything else is a temporary thing. Go and sin no more is a very big sentence. The man is not prepared. He will do the things he was doing and he will get again what he has got. So this is very important. He meant, even Christ meant, change your structure. Sin no more, go and sin no more. Don't do the things, repeat the thoughts you have been repeating, doing the things you have been doing. Change your structure. He meant that only when he said go and sin no more. As I said, the language is according to the humanity of that time. You have to use that word. Today you would have used another word. So, this is the point. See? Even Christ still with a statement, go and sin no more. Another point is, when you heal a person, are you sufficiently advanced to know whether he needs healing? Or are you going to step into his karmic debt and in spite of his karmic debt going to heal him? These are very vital questions. In this topics of healing and karma and destiny, one can go deep and deep and get lost. Okay, we'll go further. I understand and accept the many advantages of three-step rhythmic breathing, including its beneficial effect on our emotions and thoughts. However, kindly throw light on the role of 3SRB as a continuous process of self-remembrance along with the necessity of being aware of our daily activity. When established, does it cease to be a self-remembrance process? Very big question. Let me read it again to digest it. I understand and accept the many advantages of three-step rhythmic breathing, including its beneficial effect on the emotions and thoughts. However, kindly throw light on the role of three-step rhythmic breathing as a continuous process of self-remembrance along with the necessity of being aware of our daily activity. When established, does it cease to be a self-remembrance process? Have you understood? I have not understood. Three-step rhythmic breathing is not an exercise. Three-step rhythmic breathing is not an exercise. three-step breathing has to replace our wrong breathing as a correct and rhythmic breathing. It does become, in a way, automatic. Yet, the first thing it does is it upgrades our awareness. In the beginning, you have to remember to breathe three-step rhythmic breathing. We had discussed some time back where we had come across some type of, a gadget, which would remind us every 10 minutes whether we are breathing three-step rhythmic breathing. The point here is, does it increase our self-remembering, or does it become automatic and then the idea of self-remembering is not there? Whatever you do continuously becomes a habit, and habit means no remembering. We don't remember to breathe. We don't. Now, what is the significance of three-step rhythmic breathing, which, although it may become automatic, is not a habit, but increases our self-awareness? I use the word established. Three-step rhythmic breathing is established. When I say established, it means we can do three-step rhythmic breathing for 24 hours. If we can do three-step rhythmic breathing for all 24 hours, what is the result? Will somebody tell me? If we breathe three-step rhythmic breathing for 24 hours, what is the result?
We can tune in.
We can?
Tune in.
We can tune in and...
We will be aware all the time.
Communicate with divine presence. Anything else?
Good health and better intelligence.
You know what my teacher told me? You do it for 24 hours and God will take you by the hand. That's what he told me. He said, you do it for 24 hours and God will take you by the hand, come with me. That is what he told me. I took 3 years to establish three-step rhythmic breathing between my age of 8 and 11. But now I breathe all 24 hours. Where is God? I asked him, now what will happen? Now nothing will happen. But you said God will take me by the hand. Where is God? First let me know. Where is God? If he is there, he won't come and take you by the hand. If he is inside, he is already taking you. I said, no philosophy, tell me now finally. I have reached 24 hours, what will happen to me? He said that even in your sleep, you will not lose your awareness. Even in your sleep, you will not lose your awareness. And if I continue for some time, you will not lose your awareness in death. Now you understand what three-step rhythmic breathing can give? If you establish three-step rhythmic breathing, you are aware in sleep. If you can do it over a period and continue, you are aware in death at the moment of death. And if you have reached the end of your life with three-step rhythmic breathing, you will be aware in your birth, in your next life. These are the promises He gave me. One I have seen, that I am aware in my sleep. The second I will know when I will die. The third I will know when I will be born again. The first I have seen, that the awareness does not leave me. And when I say awareness, you are all aware. I am not talking about that awareness. I am talking to you. If my sister in America is ill now, had an accident, I will know. I will be aware. That is what three-step rhythmic breathing, if established, will give you that type of awareness. Not a small promise. This is not my promise to you. It's the promise of my master to me, which I pass on to you. That if I establish three-step rhythmic breathing, I shall be aware in sleep. If I continue till my death, I shall be aware in death and my next one. Oversteps mere self-remembrance. That's why I answered to a certain extent. Or you raise another question.
I see the little elucidation. So your answer is coming close from my understanding.
Now,
in the process of establishing, when I am not really established it, my mind cannot pay attention to two things. I cannot solve a problem of buying and selling shares. At the same time, we remember three-step breathing. If I do that, I lose one. If I do the other, I lose the other. So I do not have the comprehension. I do not have the magnitude of attention where both these processes would run parallel.
Right.
What am I saying?
You are right. Till you are established. Now let us go a little lower than established. Say you are capable of at least 2 hours of breathing, or 4 hours of breathing, or 8 hours of breathing, or 16 hours of breathing. Let that be go. Then your awareness will go on increasing. When you come to a total of say 8 hours in every 24 hours, then this will not happen to you, doctor. You will be simultaneously be able to carry on your three-step rhythmic breathing and also attend to any other function, share or any other function. Any function that you will be able to attend to, provided you have come to minimum 8 hours. When you go to 16 hours, you will see that your awareness is going higher and higher. I am looking at you here. If something is calling here also, I will see. As I go from 8 to 16, finally when I reach 24, I am established. In Gita, what is stressed most to Arjuna is the twofold path. The twofold, not two paths. There are no two separate paths. The twofold path. He said, be on the material path and at the same time be on the spiritual path. That means your awareness must be of that grade. Where according to our 3 SRB we have reached at least 8 to 16 hours. Where we continue with our material as well as our spiritual. We are on two planes simultaneously. The twofold path of Gita. You see, it is possible that this man. There are various other methods. There are asanas and pranayams and there are very difficult methods. I am giving you the easiest method. I am asking you to replace your wrong breathing by a right breathing. Of course, this will happen, that as your awareness, till such time your awareness increases, you will forget when you are busy with something else. I have not forgotten my three-step breathing as I talk to you. See? But it must be established. If it is established, it will work wonders. And my master described it by saying that God will take you by the hand. That means awareness that is unbroken. Why did he say God will take you by the hand? We are mortals. Why are we mortal? We are not immortal, we say. We are mortals. Why? Our awareness is broken at death. God say never dies because his awareness doesn't die. That is why he is immortal. We are mortal because our awareness dies. And if three-step rhythmic breathing can give you awareness of that caliber, so that you are aware in sleep, then you are aware in death. You are not becoming immortal. You are. So it's a great promise. That is why he said, God will take you by the hand. If you can do for 24 hours.
Your master must have established the establishment.
I am established. Where is the question of my master?
So you must be aware that he must have already signaled you if he has already taken a path again.
But
is he alive or is he...
My master was a transcendental master. Not dying or being born. The second difficult question. We are told by modern science as well as yoga that every cell in our fast-changing body-brain system is replete with cosmic intelligence. However, organic memory in each cell prevents a sick and dying cell from being replaced by a healthy new cell in the moment of mutation. This actually prevents cures. Is there an organic yoga technique to stop this organic memory from functioning? The truth. I am not answered. Mammal. You are talking about mammal. You talk about what you ate yesterday. What picture you saw the day before yesterday. Can you hear me? Everything is memory. Everything is memory. Whether I as a whole body is talking about memory, or my each cell is talking about memory, there is memory. In the whole universe, there is only one thing, memory. And memory repeats. It repeats as it is. Memory repeats as it is. Dr. Hahnemann carried out an experiment, the founder of homeopathy, took out an experiment whereby he diluted water, the diluted water with a chemical. Went on diluting 100 times, went on diluting 100 times, till he must have done some 100 times. And he wanted to know whether that chemical memory is there. At that time there were no instruments to prove that the memory was there of that chemical. Very recently a scientist carried out an experiment with a particular chemical, diluted it 100 times. Took one part, diluted it 100 times. Took one part, diluted it 100 times. How many times? 10^200. Then took one drop and the memory of the chemical was there. The memory of the chemical was there. We replaced the word chemical by disease. What will happen? The disease will be there, even if it is diluted 10 to 200 times. Now what do we do? No hope. The cancer, normally, isn't it? You mean that, no? Doctor, I am on the right line? Now, you know what our pastors say? Memory is a seed. Memory is a seed. After 5,000 lives, that seed, if it gets a particular type of event, will germinate. And in that 5,000 years, you will think that you are making progress spiritually. And suddenly, oh God, what has happened? Vishwamitra, after 10,000 lives, suddenly meant Menka. And the seed germinated. Poor boy. See, memory is very, very dirty thing, I tell you. Poor Vishwamitra, you know how he was dragged. So, what is the remedy? So the science says, what doctors quoted here is, that each cell that dies creates a new cell with its own memory. This is organic memory. Now what? What are you going to do? After 10,000 lives, you'll still have that. Marge, finish. No healing. He says no healing, huh? So what will happen now? So we get dejected, go home and say, "Khalas, we can't help it." Now will come the miracle. What is the miracle? God has given you 16 billion cells in your gray matter. And how many billion cells in your entire body, no one knows. God has given you some liters of blood, plasma. In that float a few million cells. These few million cells come twice a minute to the two lungs God has given you. And they enter into each pore of your lung. What do they get there? Science says oxygen. I say rhythm. Science says they get oxygen. I say they get rhythm. Why? I am breathing three-step rhythmic breathing. Every cell that comes there twice a minute gets my three-step rhythmic rhythm. What happens then? It goes back to the whole body. Meets every other cell. Seek. Huh? All types. It doesn't cure that cell. It gives rhythm to that cell. You also breathe this way. I learned when I went to America. That was in the lung. I learned there when I went to America. You also breathe. So the blood comes again and again, goes again and again to the whole body and pushes and says, "Do it! See this rhythm! I've got it! See how I breathe!" Ultimately this rhythm is established. The cell which dies and the cell which is born, the organic memory will fail. That is what my sastra says. That is what my master says. That is what my conviction says. Science has to say it, if not today, tomorrow. This organic memory can change if rhythm is imposed. No amount of chemical injection is going to change this memory, because memory is indestructible by itself. Each cell will repeat that sick memory, provided that sick memory by rhythm before dying is changed, so that the new cell that is born will be with that new rhythm, with a little change healing. When that cell dies, there will be a further healing, a further rhythm over a period. organic memory will disappear, replaced by rhythmic memory. That is what I said, my shastra said. Tomorrow science will say. Today science may not say. This is the hope. That is why I pay so much importance to three-step rhythmic breathing. I pay so much importance to tuning in.